Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. A month ago, forget about any separation of church and state, the government of Colorado Springs paid for a ministry of mine. It was a 24/7 Christian prison ministry at the El Paso County Jail, and it was a wonderful time of discipleship, Bible study, evangelism, but the facilities left a bit to be desired. And during this 9-day marathon ministry session, my back went out, my lower back. It was excruciating pain. In fact, I could not lie down to sleep for days on end. And it was that part of it. That was the only difficult part. And during those long sleepless hours, I wondered about the spinal column and the backbone of human beings and how that could possibly evolve and what would happen to our species if its backbone was sort of just 93% there and 7% out of whack. So I thought, wouldn't it be great to talk about this with someone who really understands the mechanics and the design of the human body from that perspective? And there's a local chiropractor, very well respected, Dr. John Hanks. Dr. Hanks, welcome to Bob Inyart Live.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, it's great to have you on the air. We've known each other for many years. Is this the first time we've ever talked on air?
It is, as a matter of fact. But, of course, you have talked with my wife, Leslie, on many occasions.
Many occasions. Leslie Hanks, longtime vice president of Colorado Right to Life. So, John, could you help us think through, now you live, I guess, day in and day out with the design of the human spinal column.
It's the world I live in.
It's the world you live in, and for the rest of us, we usually become aware of it when something goes wrong.
Yes, but especially when it's frightening, and there's just nothing more frightening than back pain at times. Usually the question is, when will this go away?
When will this go away? That's right. And I happen to know quite a few people who have come to you for help. In fact, as the pastor of Denver Bible Church, a number of people have come to me and thanked me for telling them about your services over the years. So thank you, by the way, for all the people that you've helped get back to their life pain-free. But can you talk to us, before we talk about the aspect of backbone evolving, describe for us what goes wrong when somebody ends up coming to see you.
Sure. I live in two strange worlds also. I'm the senior chiropractic consultant for Kaiser, so I actually see patients at one of the Kaiser clinics in Lakewood.
All right.
And then my private practice is with an integrated group of medical doctors and chiropractors and physical therapists and acupuncturists, so I have kind of an odd life as a chiropractor, but I've been in private practice for 34 years. Most of the people that come in to see me with spinal or neck pain are either coming in because it won't go away, or it's something new. The person's relationship to their body is rather personal. Some people are quite frightened. Others are just laughing it off. But usually it's when something isn't going away. That's when we see the patient.
Could I make a comment on just one phrase you just stated? You said a person's relationship to their body. We have a DVD called Does God Exist? And we talk about the difference between human beings and animals and how human beings have this extraordinary sense of modesty because we are body, soul, and spirit, and our spirit elevates us so high that we could look at some of our bodily functions with somewhat of a disdain, or we want to keep them very much private. You know, people would be horrified by some of their own bodily functions if they occurred in public. So our relationship with our body is a great way of putting it. Unlike plants, unlike even some of the higher animals in the animal kingdom, we are body, soul, and spirit. And we can have a relationship getting to know and understand our body.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine if you had 10 people slip and fall on the ice? You might have those that are embarrassed, those that are frankly worried they hurt themselves, and those that just kind of shrug it off, get up, and take off.
Right.
You know, we all have different reactions, and the same, especially with back pain. If you're a lumberjack, you live in a situation where you better keep working and not complain too much because all the other guys are working hard, you know. But if you...
We're having a serious audio problem. We'll continue in just a moment.
Sure.
The DVD that I've just mentioned, Does God Exist? In fact, we have two DVDs, part one and part two. Fascinating evidence for the existence of God. Evidence for the existence of God. I think you'll love it. Not only could you call us at 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. By the way, if you've never seen the name of this show, my name written, it's E-N-Y-A-R-T, Enyart, sort of Dutch, German, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. You could talk to us. We'll tell you about our DVDs, our Bible study albums. We have the neatest resources. Or you could go to our website, kgov.com, kgov.com, and you could click on our store, and you'll see our Bible study department, our video department, our Department of Government. We have so many fun sections of our store. Okay, so we're back with Dr. John Hanks. So let's continue. A lumberjack, he really needs his backbone to be working because, well, for one, pride, and for two, he's got to pay the rent.
Certainly what modern civilization has done, we don't see people having as much trouble with physical work as we do with what's called loading the spine, where you have a sedentary 5 days, let's say, working in an office or in something that's not quite so strenuous as a lumberjack. And then on the weekend, you go out and work in the yard and start the lawnmower and clean out the garage, and then by Monday, you're calling a chiropractor.
Mm. So,
but, you know, you and I had talked about also, what's the story on this spine business? I thought we had a nice discussion about possibility of showing why evolution of the spine probably has not happened, why we probably have as good a spine as we're ever going to have.
Right.
And the one thing that happens often is people will, once or twice a year, someone will say, well, I guess I wouldn't be having all this problem, or people wouldn't be having all this back trouble if we were still walking on all fours, right, Doc?
In other words, they think we did evolve and we were on all fours. They think we're not made to walk on two legs?
That's the conclusion I come to when they bring that up.
It's hysterical.
Yeah.
So how do you respond?
Well, I try to tell them that actually I think we're designed beautifully and amazingly to walk on two legs. I don't know if we're supposed to sit behind a computer for 8 hours a day, but if you look at a ballet dancer, if you look at a figure skater, someone doing high dives and triple somersaults off a board, watching track and field, someone run the hurdles. Those are unbelievably beautiful human activities to watch, you know. You mix talent with the ability of the body to respond. It's quite beautiful. So we're designed in a wonderful way.
We are designed. God created us like we are, except better. We haven't been evolving. We've been deteriorating genetically, and that's sad for our children and our great-great-grandchildren to come. But back, I remember when evolutionists found these fossil remains of about a 3-foot-tall monkey that they call Lucy, Australopithecus, and they said Lucy walked upright. And, you know, they're desperate to find an intermediary stage, what they call a missing link between apes and humans. And so they said she walked upright, therefore she's a missing link. And it wasn't long after that where an evolutionist over in, I think it was Oxford, actually did a CAT scan of the inner ear of Lucy, this Australopithecus, and he said that her inner ear was oriented the way monkeys are, where they get around on all fours, and human beings, we stand erect, and our inner ear is oriented differently. Otherwise, you'd sort of be dizzy all the time. And he said, well, unfortunately, Lucy did not walk upright. But somehow the evolutionists, they like to gloss over hard science like that.
Well, you know, that's fascinating. And when I was looking, knowing we were going to have this conversation, I was looking through some things on the Internet on vertebral columns, that's the spine, vertebra of the spine in animals. And it's a design that certainly God has used in all kinds of mammals, obviously. But it's interesting that this came to you when you were having such problems. Because the design really is a matter of amazing engineering. You've got basically 24 bones, like little children's building blocks. And
they're
between
your,
them
your
are little,
vertebrae?
Yeah, the vertebrae.
All right.
And you've got the head and the brain sitting on one little vertebra at the very top. And then all the muscles that control the movement of that head. And then at the bottom of those 24 blocks, you've got five fused blocks called the sacrum, which holds up the spine, so to speak. And then between the vertebrae, you've got what I would say would be, well, the discs. But the discs are kind of like a jelly donut, but covered with, instead of pastry, kind of a leathery covering to make it tough. So you've got this sort of liquid inside, jelly inside, and then a tough outside. And that allows the spine to be flexible.
Inside the discs that are between the vertebrae.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you've got the discs, you've got the vertebrae, and then that's the front of the spine. Now, the back of the spine is connected by two little bridges that go from each one of those building blocks backwards that makes a nice kind of a corridor for the spinal cord to come down. And behind that spinal cord, then, you've got the gliding parts of the spine, which is like a second part of the bone. So each vertebra has a front part for weight support, weight bearing, and a back part for gliding and smoothly moving. And frankly, most pain in the back comes from little nerves that are in those joints that are gliding and smoothly, and I should say maybe not so smoothly gliding.
Right.
Meanwhile, there's big nerves that come out between the bones, between the vertebrae, that go to every part of the body. And then you've got the small nerves that are in the joints and in the connective tissue, which are the ones that cause most of the pain.
So when I really was suffering in jail, I had a wonderful time except for the back pain. And I got to see the jail doctor. And the first question he asked me was, is there pain going down either of your legs? And there was, at the time, pretty sharp pain. And he ended up giving me, I guess, the best he could do in jail. He said, we don't have a chiropractor here, but I could give you muscle relaxants and painkillers. And I slept for the first time in 3 days. And that was heaven sent, I have to say, at the time. But so he assumed that there might be pain going down one of my limbs. And that was because your nerves run through your spinal column throughout your body, like you just said.
That's the first question we often ask is, do you have pain radiating down the arm or radiating down the leg? In the leg, we call it sciatica. And it's a common finding. But if the big nerves that come out between the vertebra are being pinched or irritated, then you often get radiation of pain that way. And that means something's really pinched. If you've got a big nerve pinched, you've really got some pinching.
So, John, when I used to hear my grandmother talk about her sciatica, does that mean now I'm old?
Well, this can come at any age, unfortunately.
All right, well, I'm 50.
But it's
50,
certainly more common as we get older.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Okay, so there's that sophisticated system that you're describing, our backbone. And when people have pain, is it because all of a sudden now, like half of your backbone has been mangled and out of shape, or might it be just a little bit out of whack?
Well, here's a couple of interesting thoughts. One is that back pain is a fact of life. Almost all All studies that have ever been done on this come up with 80 or 90% of us will have at least one incapacitating episode of back pain in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that much of the time, it's how we react to that back pain.
Hmm.
Now, the back pain you were having was incapacitating. You
yeah.
had some serious pain and serious
yeah.
functional problems. You know,
sleep,
you can't get comfortable.
Yeah, sleep deprivation for days.
Well, if you can't lay down. You know.
Right.
And I'm always elated when we can help folks like that. But, you know, there was a study done with the Bedouins of in the Saudi Arabia area many, many years ago. And some British who were active in that region before the oil days did some kind of a poll of a lot of the Bedouins trying to find out what kind of diseases they had and what kind of problems they had. And they, you know, do they get colds? Do they, you know, have heart problems? And they came to the conclusion that the Bedouins had no back pain, that there was no reported back pain. But another researcher brought up the fact that no one had ever asked them if they had back pain. So when they ask the question, they say, oh, heck yes, we've all got back pain.
Right.
We hurt every day. We're loading camels, tents on camels,
yeah.
you know. We're living in the desert. Everybody has back pain.
Yeah,
they live with it.
So it is. And, in fact, we all know about mutations and the scary thing of a child might be born with some kind of congenital defect, a deformity, and that's horrendous. And our DNA, it's not getting better. It's getting worse because of gene deterioration.
Adaptation, yeah.
And you'd think yeah. that evolutionists would recognize this, that we're not getting better. There was a perfection genetically some 6,000 to 10,000 years ago, and since then we have been deteriorating.
Remember that old rock and roll song? I was trying to remember who did it or whatever. It wasn't particularly great song, but it was something like in the year 2525, then in the year 3535.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, pretty soon man doesn't have to walk anymore.
Yeah.
They don't need this. Don't need arms or legs. I think the lyrics went.
Yeah, we're going to evolve. Yeah, right. So when somebody has back pain, all over the world we suffer with back pain, your whole back, you don't have to be missing 40% of your spinal column from a car accident. Some minor feature or function or form gets out of whack, and you could be suffering from debilitating pain.
Anywhere from mild, annoying to severe and debilitating. And it happens all the time. The one thing I see the most has to do with prolonged, you know, awkward positions people get in, sitting, sleeping. I think sleeping on a mattress that was about 2 nanometers thick down in El Paso was one of your problems from what you told me.
Hmm.
That there just wasn't any mattress that had anything to it.
Hmm.
Those are the most common things that we see.
So let's say that back when God designed Adam and then Eve and gave them the ability to procreate, their spinal column, their backbone, the spinal fluids, the nervous system, it would have all been flawless, perfectly functioning. But now it's been deteriorating because of sin and the fall, rebellion against God. Death has come into the cosmos. And so we have problems, and a small problem, sometimes somebody just can't even go to work. They just can't do it. I'm trying to imagine if Darwin was right and the atheist and mankind were hunter-gatherers back, you know, 80,000 years ago, 200,000 years ago, and our spinal column wasn't really the beautiful work of art it is today. It was sort of like 93% formed properly, and the discs in between them were sort of 70% there. They weren't really working quite great. Like, they had the gooey center, but not the nice, hard outer portion. And the backbones of the whole human race, Homo sapiens, were so-so. How would we function as a species?
Well, maybe the gorillas would have owned the Earth then. Maybe it would be Planet of the Apes, because yeah. We would have died off a long time ago.
We would have died. How could you survive when an entire species has... My call screener right now is writhing on the floor in back pain, trying to imagine what it would be like if everyone had a spinal column that was not functioning.
Well, I think you and I had mentioned... having a previous discussion about, it's interesting in biology. I mean, we can go back to high school biology. Remember when the biology teacher says, well, we're going to study there's vertebrates and there's invertebrates.
Yeah.
What was it about the spine that seemed to be where we took a huge fork in the road?
Mm.
And that's exactly right. You know, when you think of a jellyfish evolving over millions of years into a human, it's a hard one to do.
Well, and Dr. John Hanks, how about the fossil record? There are billions of fossils in the world. We have literally excavated millions of fossils. And one would think that evolving step by step over a slow, gradual process from no creatures with no backbones to horses and fish and humans, all kinds of mammals, you would think that that would have to leave a billion years worth of intermediary species with partial backbones, whatever in the world that could possibly be.
That's it. Where is that transitional animal that became, you know, made the step from invertebrate to vertebrate?
Yeah.
And as I understand it, and I don't claim to be an expert, there's not a lot of good examples of that. The best that the evolutionists come up with is, well, look at the hard shell of a lobster or something like that, you know.
Right.
That's going to become the future backbone.
An exoskeleton.
Exoskeleton.
Which in and of itself, you know, every creature at the bottom of the geologic column, like a trilobite, the eyes of a trilobite were wildly sophisticated. Pollen and seeds are so sophisticated. The sophistication in a simple seed of a plant, you can't call it simple. Mm-hmm. That seed is able to detect atmospheric pressure, proper soil, proper humidity, proper temperature before it will begin to sprout. And then it has the code to create a giant tree, like a sequoia. And you find these wildly sophisticated things at the very bottom of the geologic column.
Yeah.
So, and you don't find any intermediary stages between invertebrates and vertebrates because God made both.
Yes. Yeah.
That's so beautiful. Hey, John Hanks, could you give out a phone number just in case someone in the audience has listened to this and thought, you know, I don't want to deal with this pain anymore?
Well, you're very kind, and probably a good way to contact me would be through healthmark.org. Healthmark.org.
Okay.
Health and Mark.
Healthmark.org.
Uh-huh. That's the group that I my practice is associated with, and I'll give a number, 303-584-8900, and that's 303-584-8900.
Okay. All right. So, and last question. And I thought a chiropractor would be especially well suited to answer this, Dr. John Hanks. Do you think our politicians will grow a spine? One? I mean, we know that the animal kingdom never did, but is there any hope?
They're dangerously close to the invertebrate world.
Yeah, they are.
We need to start looking at the other end, into the mammal area, the spinal area, right, to find some politicians who might have some.
Well, it's a joy to talk to you, Dr. Hanks. Thank you so much for this time.
And thanks for asking me, Bob.
Sure thing. May God bless you. Okay, appreciate that. That's Dr. John Hanks with HealthMark in the Denver metro area, healthmark.org, 303-584-8900. And if you end up visiting Dr. Hanks, please let us know and let him know that we here at Bob and Yurt Live said hello years ago, a long time ago, in the mid-80s, listening to Denver Talk Radio and hearing Peter Boyles. and he's doing a segment of the show, and it turns out that it's actually a big advertisement. It's an infomercial, but I thought it was so rude that he didn't tell his audience this is an infomercial. I'm getting paid for this interview, this endorsement. And what you just heard is not that. That was not an infomercial. Well, Dr. Hanks is not an advertiser. That was just to share with you his insight from his area of expertise. And unlike evolutionists, typically if you ask an evolutionist, how do you know if he's a geologist? You ask him, what's your best evidence that the Earth is billions of years old? He'll give you evidence from a different field. And we've been pointing that out on this show for 18 years, that evolutionists, when you say, what's your best evidence for evolution, they'll give you evidence from other disciplines, not their own. Creationists, whatever area of expertise they have, they see the awesome splendor and majesty and wisdom of God in their area because it's all around us. The heavens declare, and the unborn child forming in the womb shows the glory of God. So thanks for tuning in, Bob and Yurt Live. In Arvada, Colorado, Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school. Their number, 303-431-5653, 303-431-5653. Pray for Colorado Right to Life and Personhood USA next week, an important legislative meeting reviewing the language they've submitted to the Secretary of State for Colorado's 2010 Personhood Amendment and their personhood efforts all over the country. So, hey, and help us out at KGOV, KGOV.com.